25 years of marriage and you have nothing to say?
I'll just say it. I slept with someone.
If you keep talking, I'm gonna get out of the car.
I think the fact that I did it, it just shows how broken we are.
Okay.
How much we really... Oh my God, Cal!
You're getting a divorce?
Yeah.
Amy heard you crying in the bathroom. We all thought it was cancer.
Oh.
Thank God, man.
Yeah, just my relationship.
Hi, can I buy you a drink?
Uh-huh.
Let's get out of here. Want to get out of here?
Yeah.
What are you doing later?
I don't know.
I do. There's lots of beautiful women in this bar, but I can't take my eyes off of you.
It's time to go home.
Oh, it's forward of you, but okay.
Yeah.
Should I pull the car around? Have you been drinking? I'll drive.
Hey, ladies man guy. Any tips of the trade?
Your wife cheated on you because you lost sight of who you are as a man. Why don't you take that straw out of your mouth? It looks like you're sucking on it.
Okay.
You're sitting there with a Supercuts haircut, and you're wearing a 44, and you should be wearing a 42 regular. Credit card. Where are your wallets? Did you sleep in them?
Jeez, God!
Yeah, probably.
You would?
You gotta take control of your manhood, pal.
Can you put on some clothes, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, is this bothering you? Beautiful. Looking
at, looking at, looking at me. Look at that.
What do you want to do with me?
I want to show you off to my ex-wife and make her really jealous. Oh, man.
I met a girl, and she is a game changer.
She's your soulmate, right? Go get her back.
Wow, how old are you?
I'm in love with her, and I don't know what to do about it.
I don't know when you and I stopped being us. You know, when I told you that I had to work late, I really went to see the new Twilight movie by myself.
And it was so bad.
I should have fought for you.
Take off your shirt.
Why?
Will you take off your shirt? Seriously? It's like you're photoshopped.
I did not think of anything to lead into after the trailer you just heard, but it's the month of love.
Yay, we're here. It's nearly Valentine's Day.
It is, even though the recording of this is January 26th. So
yeah.
We're a little bit ahead, but thank Christ Almighty that we are out of the viewer request bad movie month.
Oh my God. I think we put in a good effort in January. It was a lot of fun, but it was difficult at times too.
It was. But then we get Crazy Stupid Love and, oh, am I really out of the bad movie month?
Oh, you thought it was bad?
This may have been the upset of the show since we started the show. This is probably the biggest upset.
What do you mean?
Do you remember how I ended last week's episode?
I can't remember.
All I was saying is like, there's no way I'm going to like this movie. I was...
Oh.
Anticipating not liking it.
Is it just not your genre though?
Well, maybe I did like it. Maybe I did not. Listen throughout the episode. And then at the end, we will put it in the tier list ranking. So we'll kind of see throughout maybe how I feel. All right. But now it is a new month. So we have a new Patreon only episode.
My God.
We decided to do it 365 days.
Why did we decide this?
Because it was the month of love, and is there a bigger, like, romantic story ever?
I think we were trying to decide between this and 50 Shades, weren't we? And we decided on this one.
Yes, that is correct. And I don't know, maybe 50 Shades, maybe stay tuned or not. We may have to do them both. But I have not seen it. Again, by the time of this recording, I haven't seen it. By the time this episode comes out, that episode will be out. But you've already seen it. I haven't seen it. And I can only think about what is going to come up during that talk.
Oh, God. Yep,
there,
I won't say any more on that.
There you go. All right, so again, check out that patreon.com/onthepath for that, as well as a bunch of other stuff. It's nearing like 30 episodes or something like that on there. So check that out. Stick around to the end of this week's episode to hear what we're going to do next week in our continuing month of love. Email us, podonthepath@gmail.com. Any questions, suggestions, comments, anything like that. Check out the Discord, all the links below. Now, we're going back to the year 2011. We're going to guess the gross. Lucy's going to guess the gross here. So 2011, this movie was released with a budget of $50
million. Wow, it's quite modest.
It's quite modest, but then you think of there were no special effects. Like literally, I can't think of any And so this clearly went into the cast.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the cast is the film's strong point, I think. Yeah, I remember seeing this in the cinema when 2011 is the year that I moved away from home in Northern Ireland. I went to university.
Okay.
And I went on a date to see this movie.
Wow.
Yeah. And
how'd the date go?
The date was good. I was with him for a long time.
Okay.
Not anymore, but...
the date went well, but...
It was good, yeah. But I really like this film. And I feel like we said, it's got a good cast. I think it would have done well, especially if we're just talking about Guess the Gross. If it's only budgeted at 50 million, I would say it easily doubled that. I'm going to say 200 mil.
See, I was thinking along your lines there. I would have bet not anything, but I bet a solid amount. This that went over 200 million. It only grossed 145.
Surprised at that.
I am too. Now, granted, that's a major success. It's tripling it.
Yes.
But
yeah.
And I know Ryan Gosling, he got Oscar nominated back in like 06 or something like that. He's obviously not as big a name then as he was now.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve Carell, I just would have sworn up and down that this thing would have grossed more than that. So that actually seemed a lot lower than what I thought.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. But that, like you said, it is still a success.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I would have thought it would have, you know, been a smash.
Yeah. Okay. Tomato, tomato. I could finally, this movie has to have had been certified not rotten. What is it? Fresh.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. You've guessed that right. We're not talking green splats and spilt popcorn today. We have got relatively good scores. So the critics' consensus is it never lives up to the first part of its title, but crazy, stupid, loves unabashed sweetness. Terrifically talented cast more than makes up for its flaws.
Yeah, and I can see that. And again, we are in a pre-Me Too era. We're in a pre... So the message is I was fucking gripping my armrest so tight for some of these decisions that these characters are going to make. I think this movie was well received on both fronts by critics and audiences. I'm going to say critics ate this up because they love Steve Carell. Marissa Tomei, I didn't know she was in this either. I don't know anybody but Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling. So I'm going to say that this was a solid 83%.
Okay, so that's the critics?
Yeah, critics, 83.
Okay, the critics, you're very close. The critics scored it at a certified fresh 79%.
Okay, I'm one of these days.
Yeah, you're getting it.
Oh, I'm dancing around it. Okay, that was pretty good. Okay, I do think the audiences, how many audience ratings is
it? How many audience ratings? There's 200... over 100,000.
Oh, okay.
100,000, yeah.
Audiences had to have loved this. Had to have loved it. Has to be higher. I'm going to say that the audiences have it at 83%.
Quite an interesting one, actually. So we've got a nice box of tasty popcorn, so it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the closest score we've ever had. The audience actually rated this at 78%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I'm stunned. I thought
it would have been higher.
I thought I was too low at 83. I thought it was going to be lower than what I thought, but I was literally thinking this might be pushing 90. But now that I mention it, have you ever heard anybody mention this movie?
No.
No. No. It's funny you said that because I would have thought this would have been... Like, how is this not a fucking classic? How is this not a Valentine's classic? There's two major gifts.
Yes. Yeah.
That memes. When I saw, I was like, oh, that's it. Oh, that's it. Yeah. Yes, the meme and the gifts that come from it. Why? Interesting. Now I really wish I would have thought of this before we started recording. I would have looked up why this movie isn't more popular.
Maybe there was no like marketing around it or anything.
But I mean, like now you would think it would be.
Yeah, maybe it would have its second wind.
Like, how is this? This is seems to be an excellent Halloween movie. Halloween. Well, fuck me. Hey, guess what? It is Friday afternoon. Does my voice sound funny? It is teetering.
Sounds a little deeper than usual.
It feels like I'm teetering. My voice is going to crack. It's going to crack like that. I am lubricating it with Buffalo Trace whiskey.
Nice.
The old fashions in this movie, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go whiskey for this recording. So we'll see how long I can go. All right. So that should do it. Let's get into that. Should do it for the episode. All right. See y'all
next. See you next week.
See you next week. All right. We can get into this. The directors, there were two, Glenn Ficarra and Juan Requa. Never heard of them.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with either of them.
Clicked on some of the stuff they did. A Smallfoot, Whiskey Tango, Foxtrot, Focus. Oh, they were just a story on that. They only directed Focus and Whiskey Tango, Foxtrot after this. They did direct I Love You, Philip Morris, which I did not see, but I've heard very polarizing things about.
Okay. No, I haven't heard of either of these two.
Okay. And that's all we got to do. That's all we got with them.
That was the end of the episode. Sorry, everyone.
No, it was written by Dan Fogelman. And I know this name because this guy, I remember that he wrote Tangled.
Yeah, oh, wow. Okay.
He wrote Tangled. But the biggest thing people would probably know him from is the TV series This Is Us.
Oh.
He created this. Yeah.
Okay. I've never watched that, but it's one of those shows that I see clips on TikTok all the time.
It sounds, everything I hear about it is it's horrifically depressing.
Yes. Yeah. Some of the clips that I've seen, I'm like, what the fuck? I don't want to watch this.
No. And so, yeah, I could just imagine, like, this movie teetered on schmaltz. I really don't think it ever did. If it ever hit that schmaltz, I would have really disliked it.
What do you mean schmaltz?
Schmaltz is, it's so hard. It's trying too hard to get you heart-wrenching or to care.
Okay.
Schmaltzy. The movie Patch Adams always comes to mind as being just terrible schmaltz of trying to just give these really heartwarming speeches and using like little children.
Okay, right.
That's what schmaltz would be. I can't think of anything like off direct off the top of my head.
Anything that we've talked about.
That'd be
before.
So widespread that we've talked about. No. Oh, my. Love Actually would have probably had some of it. But
yeah.
I don't know. I fucking hated that movie so much. I couldn't ever take it too serious. So yeah, that would really be it. But all right, you're ready to get into.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, stupid love. All right, so Cal and Emily Weaver decide to get a divorce, and they ride home together? That's interesting.
Well, they've got to go home.
Yeah, but like, yeah, you're right. I guess they'd have to go to the same home. But
they live together.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be just, if I was him, I'd be like, okay, you can take a cab, maybe. Or like call
put
an Uber.
Her in a cab to the same house.
Hey, I don't know. But yeah, it gets more so. So she admits on the way there. She just tells him, yeah, she was banging some guy.
David Lindhagen,
which has to be mentioned a dozen times.
Yeah, I don't know why. Every time they mention the same, I like repeat it back to them. I'm like, David Lindhagen.
Lindhagen.
Damn it. Lindhagen.
Lindhagen. It's actually Lindhagen, right?
It is Hagen, yeah.
And they
but
say Lindhagen.
They say
yeah.
Hagen, yeah. When they want played to be... by Kevin Bacon like, or Bakken.
By Kevin Bakken. I've never heard that. Kevin Bakken. Yeah, that's how you mispronounce an 80s metal band.
Mm-hmm. And I messaged you earlier talking about the 6 degrees of Kevin
yes.
Bakken.
Okay.
Okay, so how many degrees away from Kevin Bacon do you think that we on the Path podcast are?
So how exactly does that work
for
the audience out there? Not me. I haven't forgotten it. How does that?
So usually the whole idea of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is because he has such a wide range of movies or shows that he's been in that usually you can pair an actor to him by at least 6 people. So, for example, this person's been in this movie. They've been in a movie with that person, and eventually you get to Kevin Bacon. And the idea is that you can get to Kevin Bacon within at least 6 people.
Okay.
Anyone. So usually you go between movies, but I'm just going, me or you have met someone who's been in a movie, who's been in a movie.
Okay. So who do we, are we going to say who that is?
Well, I figured it out.
I'm going to say...
I want you to guess how many degrees we are away from Kevin Bacon.
I'm going to say 8.
8?
Is that too low?
No, it's too high.
Oh, shit. Okay.
We are actually 3 degrees away from Kevin Bacon.
Interesting. All
okay,
right.
So we as a collective on the Path podcast have met Idris Elba.
Yes, we have.
We have
proxy.
Met Idris Elba.
I was there in spirit.
Yes. Idris Elba plays a character called Janik, maybe Yannick, I don't know how that's pronounced, in the 2012 sci-fi horror film Prometheus. And in that cast is also Michael Fassbender. He plays a character called David. Now, Michael Fassbender plays Eric Lenscher in the 2011 film X-Men First Class with Kevin Bacon.
Dang. Kevin Bacon was in X-Men First Class? I mean,
he plays a character called Sebastian Shaw. I ain't seen it. So
Sebastian
I'm trusting
Shaw.
The Google for this
isn't that the fucking Winter Soldier? Oh, it's Sebastian Stan.
Oh,
the actor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, the fuck? What did I think of? Okay. Yeah,
so we're three away from Kevin Bacon.
Hey, look at that. We practically know him.
And all the listeners, you guys are only 4 degrees away from Kevin Bacon because you know us.
Hey, so there you go. Look at that. Look at that. Here we go. All right, so there were multiple moments in this movie where I like laughed out loud or short, like almost did a spit take. I'll get to that one right there, almost a literal one. Right here. When he fucking duck and rolls, I would just okay, that's so fucking good.
It's the way he says he's gonna do it first. He's like, if you please don't stop talking, or please do stop talking, or I'm gonna jump out of the car. And you think, oh, he's being dramatic, and then he just so casually slides out. It's so good.
I literally was just like, is he gonna fucking do it? He's not gonna. Is he gonna do it? Oh, he fucking did it. Oh, I was fucking cackling already right there. So good, so good. I want to do that so bad.
You want to jump out of a car?
I do. Not like a 30-mile-an-hour car, but something like slowly, you know, maybe like 20-some-odd miles an hour. Like, I think I could do it.
Just to see what happens?
I think I could. Yeah, I think I could make it.
This is why women live longer than men. Like, I don't have the desire to do that.
You have no desire to do that?
Jump out of a car? No.
Interesting. That, you know what? Maybe that is. Tell us, if you're a woman out there and you've ever wanted to just duck and roll. Yeah. Have you ever thought about, like, as you're walking against traffic on the road, have you ever thought about just jumping in front of a car? That's called something.
This is quite incriminating. I would think, like, oh my God, I could just push someone out in front of a car. But I would never do that. But it crosses my mind.
So it doesn't cross your mind to jump yourself. It crosses your mind to throw somebody in front.
I'm like, yeah. Or I worry that I'm going to be pushed. So I can't stand on the side of the train tracks or anything because I think someone's going to come push me.
See, that the subway's rails is, yeah. I do not, they blow my mind that they're just right there. There's no rails.
The trust is insane.
Yes, and I'm just sitting there. Y'all yeah, just look at someone and be like, I could push me. I know. And that happens.
I could kick you.
All right, well, we just fucking delved. Anyway. We delved out of it already. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so if you think like, wow, there's a lot of stuff happening. Robbie the son gets caught jacking off.
Oh my God, by the babysitter.
And he tells her he was thinking of her and has a picture. Is this what we're in for in this movie? Because this is like 4 minutes in.
Yeah, I was shocked by this. I was very shocked. Because obviously we see like the scene where he gets caught and I thought, oh, he's going to be embarrassed. Bless him. Like, he's just a teenage kid. And then he comes downstairs and he's like, yeah, I thought of you. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, so this Robbie, oh boy. Robbie had me on the fucking edge of my seat, gripping my armrests at what he was going to say, what he was going to do. Was he going to be rewarded for being that persistent? And I felt, honest to God, that's my number one thing about this movie is,
yeah.
Did you feel that that was the message? Or did you think by the end, because of the ending, they pulled it back?
I wasn't sure because I totally forgot about this whole plot line. There's a few different plot lines going on.
You'd seen this movie before, right? Or you hadn't?
I've seen this movie.
She just said it. Fuck, I'm tired. You just said you saw it at the cinema.
But then I've probably seen it once since then.
Okay.
But because there's quite a few different plot lines going on, I totally forgot about the kid plot line. And I was very uncomfortable by the persistent nature and like the encouraging when obviously she's 17, so it's wrong, it's really weird, and she feels uncomfortable, rightly so. And the way his dad just says, oh well, just keep trying. But to be fair, his dad doesn't know that it's a 17-year-old babysitter that his kid's in love with. I'm doing air quotes,
but
so I guess he kind of thinks it's just like young love. But I still find it really uncomfortable the way he's just like, oh, I'll just keep trying.
But that's what messaging was back then. Like, of all movies, that's all it was you have to do it. You have to do it. Mm-hmm. And I know we're putting the cart before the horse here like we always do. But then at the end, she starts kind of smiling. Oh, she kind of gets it. I'm just like, no, this is the type of movie. This movie would not fucking be made today because people understand.
No, not this line, no.
Well, no, because what this kid is doing is wrong. Like, it is, but at the time and all the way going back, that's what boys were told. So it's, in a way, you can't even fault them for it because it's fucking media is telling them, no, be persistent. She will realize she's the one for you. And now it's been flipped. It's like, dude, no, tell her how you feel. She will then tell you how she feels. And then you will have to accept what that is and you can deal with it yourself. And so that was the only thing that just kept going and going. At the end, he finally pulls back. He pulls back and he's just like, gives her like a handshake and he's like, I can wait or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, they at least did that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is funny because at the time when it was released, you're right. It would have just felt like, oh yeah, you just never give up on your.
This is what it was.
Love.
Yes. Yes.
But now when you watch it, it's a bit like, oh, this is uncomfortable for you to just disregard her feelings on the situation. Yeah.
And
completely
this is a movie,
and just keep going.
The movie only 10 years, a little over 10 years old. Like this, mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, you would have seen this when you were 19 or 20 or whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would have been, you know, I don't know. Again, it's just sign of the times. And that's a fun thing about doing this and being
it
able
is,
to talk
yeah.
about it is you start to see like, oh, fuck, you know, that was something you wouldn't have thought about back then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hannah and her friend Liz are out here at the bar and Conan O'Brien is catching strays as one
ginger junk.
Yes, as Liz is just like, he's ugly. He's an ugly ginger piece of shit. Fucking 6'5" redheaded
but he's
Irish.
Sexy.
Yes, and I'm just like, holy shit! Like Fogelman, did Conan not hire you? What are you taking this out on Conan O'Brien for? He's a national treasure.
There was no reason to go this long as well. It wasn't a passing comment. It was a whole conversation between these two friends.
Dude, it was multiple lines about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very uncomfortable. Her ginger junk.
The ginger. All right, so they're just talking all this shit. And Jacob Palmer comes in to be creepy and aggressive, but because he's Ryan Gosling, it's sexy. But
yes,
when he
the message.
But when he does it, it's sexy. But when I do it, I get a drink thrown in my face and a restraining order.
This is Ken. This is our future Ken.
This is Ken.
Do what he wants.
We're gonna need to do sometime we're going to need to do a, what's it called when you redo something? We're going to need to do another episode and I want to be on there to talk about it.
About what?
About Barbie, the Barbie movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Me and Valerie talked about Barbie on our No Boys Week.
Yeah. Y'all kicked me out.
Actually, it was like No Boys Month when you and I, it was just me and Basic and me and Valerie.
Yeah. Y'all were just like, hey, the women are
Barbie
here.
Barbie month, get out
we
of here.
Talk about Barbie. But the real quick thing about that movie is I think a lot of people mistake about Barbie is so much of that was about Ken not becoming mm-hmm. dependent on the validation of Barbie. And like the message to men and boys of that should be, you don't need the validation by women to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole like Kenuff thing or however you're supposed to say it.
I am Kenuff. Yeah.
Kenuff. Yeah.
It was a great storyline. Obviously, it's all kind of funny and Ryan Gosling is hilarious and brilliant in that film. But
he's so good.
He's so good.
He's so good. I couldn't get that out as I had the Buffalo Trace on my lips. Yeah.
He's so good.
He was nominated for a Golden Globe for this movie. And it took about four scenes for me to realize like, oh shit. Yeah. Yeah. He's a treasure.
He's so funny. And it's annoying when somebody like him is that funny.
Yeah. It's kind of like that John Hamm thing when somebody is so good looking, so funny. Like, they can do everything. It's like, that's just not fair.
Yeah. This is him and Emma Stone's first movie together, and they went on to do La La Land and another film, something about...
Gangster Squad.
Yeah, and I just think they're so good together.
It took me when they were doing the Dirty Dancing thing before it hit me. I was like, oh, shit, this is La La Land, which I have not seen.
I haven't seen it either.
Okay, Damien Chazelle. Maybe Oscar month. March,
oh, that's a
maybe.
Good idea.
Maybe.
They won their Oscars for that film.
Yeah, maybe in the month of March might be Oscar month for y'all listening, you keen listeners out there. We're obviously doing themed months now, so.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, so the babysitter is in love with Cal. And at this point, I was getting, actually, even earlier, I was getting so much Love Actually vibes. And I was so worried.
In the intertwining stories and
but for those who have stayed up listening to our episodes, you know how I introduced Love Actually. I'm sorry. Yes, you know how I introduced Love Actually. You know how I introduced Cats. The fact that I did not introduce this episode with an apology or a rant about America's colonial crimes.
Yeah, maybe
may give you a hint on how I feel about the movie.
I should have realized. Exactly. You didn't have anything to say.
Yes. If I would have hit record, pause like we always do, and then gone. So from 1776. Yes, the fact that I didn't do that was
a
big hint.
Oh no. But maybe because this film isn't British.
No, but I would have let it off with American crimes. I'd have been like, since 1776, the There you go. All right. So now we get to a thing that a little near and dear to me. Cal is at the bar sulking his sorrows away. He's drinking a vodka cranberry, which makes me sad because I like vodka cranberries. But every time
it's a great drink.
It is, but it's just like guys don't drink it, okay? And I'm securing my fucking masculinity. Where's my – I got the neon pink. I got a bunch of – I love hot pinks. My fucking favorite color. I don't give a shit. But when I saw that there, and then a little bit later, when he meets up with Jacob and he says, using that straw is like sucking a tiny dick. And then he says, vodka cranberries are for 14-year-old girls. I don't think I can ever drink one again now. Mainly, it's not just that, because this was the icing on the cake. My girlfriend like may have given me shit for drinking like a vodka cranberry.
Oh, no.
I know. And so it's just like, you know what? It's 2024. Brett's about to turn 40. I think the vodka cranberries are done.
Oh, maybe you need to have one on your 40th birthday, and that's like your last hurrah.
That's a damn good idea. I'm going to be pounding. Because that was like my fucking, like, it was vodka Red Bull. I was 24 and like 25. It was vodka Red Bull. It was vodka cranberries at home, and then it was vodka Red Bulls out. Yeah, the vodka Red Bulls are way in the past. Those are
No, don't do that. Anyone who's listening to this podcast shouldn't be drinking vodka Red Bulls, please, for your health.
Yes, don't do that. I also used to brew my coffee with Red Bull.
What?
Yeah, I did that for a little. Instead of water, I'd brew my coffee with Red Bull to get more.
No, you didn't.
Look it up. You can do it.
Not doing that.
Okay, well, you can do it. I needed the caffeine. I was fucking 20. I was invincible.
You can't boil Red Bull.
Try it. Don't knock it. We're going to try it. All right.
No, I'm not trying that.
One time.
I want to live.
We'll try it one time.
Okay.
We'll try it. See, you agreed. Okay. It's not print. It's on recording. There you go. And Texas is a one-party consent state. So boom.
Right.
We're getting there. All right, so he sees Jacob talking up some women, and man, I was drinking a beer last night, a good old Texas Ziegenbach. It's my cut week, so I'm cutting calories. I was like, I'm gonna have a fucking drink on Thursday night. I almost legit spit my beer out when Steve Carell or Cal just turns back and goes, "Gay."
Yeah,
I legit almost spit it out.
Yeah, it is so out of nowhere. He just sees it. Sees Jacob doing his thing in his nice outfit with his girl and just goes gay.
He goes gay. It killed me.
Oh my God.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
Steve Carell's hilarious.
It's so good. All right. Not my fault. This is not our fault. Okay. Last week you brought up Twilight when talking about
it.
What do you mean?
Did I?
Yes, you did. We're talking about ages. Two people were old. I brought up Geralt Bang and 17-year-old Shawnee. And you
brought
up Twilight. This isn't our fault. The movie brought it up, okay?
Yeah.
Emily said she went to go see the new Twilight movie by herself. And I'm telling you, every time Twilight gets brought up, my ears just perk up. And so I was typing out a note and they said that and I just jerked over. I was like, wait, what? Okay.
Yeah,
it's not our fault.
She went to see Twilight and it was so bad.
It was so bad. I'm like, what is... Fogelman,
Twilight
we're just
catching strays now too.
Dude, Fogelman is just roasting everything in here. It's like, damn, dude.
Maybe this is why we've never heard him for anything else.
He's no kid. Well, yeah, this is us. Maybe it's why I stopped doing movies. Yeah, he had to go to TV. And like, fucking got him there. So 2011, the new Twilight movie. This would have been 2010. Was that New Moon?
Oh my God, I can't remember.
2008 was the first one. What was the second one? Eclipse? No, second one was New
Moon. New Moon.
So Eclipse.
New Moon was
2009. So it has been Eclipse.
Eclipse was 2010. Yeah.
And you know what? We will eventually cover all the Twilight movies. Eclipse was fucking dreadful.
Yeah, was
that
the
one? Where nothing fucking happened.
Well, yeah, exactly. I can't even remember what happened.
Exactly.
Breaking Dawn Part 1 came out in 2011, so maybe she went to see Breaking Dawn Part 1. But Eclipse was bad.
I guess I would have thought when this was made, but you're right. If they would have, I assume every movie's like made the year before it comes out.
Yeah, no, you're probably right.
I'm saying Eclipse.
Yeah, because Eclipse is bad. So it checks out.
Why do I say Eclipse and not Eclipse?
I don't know. What do you say if there is like an eclipse?
A solar eclipse.
Eclipse.
But if I just say the word, I say Eclipse. What the fuck?
No, maybe it's like email.
Wait, no, it's email. ML.
No. ML.
I was going to say, is this like the thing like talk, where I just say talk, I can't say something, I say eclipse?
I'm talking here.
Yeah, I'm talking. Quit making fun of me. All right, I'm from Texas here. I'm talking. Yeah, I'm talking. Hey, I'm walking here. Oh, by the way,
speaking of accents, what was Jacob or Ryan Gosling's accent in this film? What was it?
I'm glad you brought that up. I had no idea. I did not know what he was going for. Has he ever, he doesn't talk like this elsewhere, no, right?
This is not his accent. He's doing something. I'm not sure what it is.
Early on, it was fucking, something was different early on. Like his first couple scenes, you're right. I kind of put my ears up to, I have no fucking idea what he was going for.
I was hoping you would, because I thought I'm just a silly little British person. I don't understand American accents, but I don't know what it is at all.
That is one I did not know. Maybe he was trying to do a mid-Atlantic from like 1950s.
Maybe.
he was doing something, especially early on, because I did not think he was doing it later.
Yeah, there was parts where it was extreme.
Yeah,
for sure.
He was feeling it. All right, so Cal's friend comes by, chugs Chardonnay, which... An Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode, D calls somebody who ordered Chardonnay a name, and I'm calling this guy that because he ordered Chardonnay at a bar, but can't say it anymore, all right? If we went back to 1995, we could say it, but we can't say what it is. But he chugs this and says he can't be friends with him anymore. Like,
upset me.
What the fuck is this shit?
Friend breakup as well. This is really all the different stages of love and relationships.
Dude, and that's like... And again, if anybody actually has a case of that or knows about it, again, let us know, because I'm genuinely curious. I get you can't do anything together, but there's no fucking reason, if you're a guy, you can't go have a drink with somebody and like for a couple hours or to go do stuff with that. And so I didn't know. It never really came. It kind of did, because this dude's wife is kind of that bitch wife that just won't let him have anyone. Oh,
she's the ball and chin.
I'm glad we took Emily and all that. I'm just like, is this real? Are there actually couples like that?
Oh, there's got to be.
There has to be.
Not in my experience, older. But I bet there is. Yeah.
I just could not imagine if, like right now, if I had friends that weren't all fucking married with like 15-year-old kids, the thought of them, of like my wife, girlfriend or whatever being like, yeah, you can't hang out with that person. Like, the thought of that is just so fucking foreign.
Yeah, it's really, I definitely think it is a thing of the past. I hope so anyway. It's more of an older thing.
But again, if anybody knows that, or maybe they've ever had that happen, lay it on.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Cal is at the bar again, drinking his sorrows away, and he brings up cuckolds or cuckolding like a dozen times. And I just kept getting closer to being on my head. I mean, like, dude, or screenplay again, Fogelman, were you going through something? Okay, we don't kink shame here. All right, fetishes are all there, but he says fucking cuckolding so many times in this PG-13 movie.
He's screaming at across
screaming
the bar.
Cuckolding at this bartender and this like woman to the side.
I did find this whole scene really funny. I just think Steve Carell did a great job of like complaining at the bar about his life problems and screaming it around and just being that annoying dude at the bar.
Like, it is, I know it's a movie and all that, but it's so cringy.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't watch it half the time. I was hiding. Dude. Yeah.
I almost fast forwarded it.
Sad sack loser sob story.
Sad sack, dude. All right. But this catches the attention of Jacob, who does a pure bro move. And tells this woman, who again exists there solely to be ogled at, to give him 5 minutes. So we can, and he calls Cal over to his table. What a bro.
Like, let me buy you a drink.
Yeah, let me buy you a drink. And then he calls him gay. He's looking like he's sucking on a dick. He's a 14-year-old girl.
Straws aren't cool, okay?
Okay, I take umbrage with that, okay? Depending on the drink. Like, bro, you're drinking a fucking old-fashioned. Of course you're not going to use a straw.
Yeah, I get that. I always use a straw.
Yes, and this made me really want an old fashioned.
Well, yeah, I couldn't figure out what it was, and my first thought was a Negroni, but you're right, it's old fashioned.
Yeah, they show them later grounding.
Similar vibes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing that, because that is my better half's like number one drink. And so I've kind of
A Negroni?
An old fashioned.
Oh
yeah.
God, they both make me
Negronis are fucking going to an Italian restaurant and being like, I'm gonna really Italian it up, I'm gonna get a Negroni, and then realizing Campari was not Aperol.
No, it's not.
I thought
no.
It was Aperol, and as soon as I took that first drink of that Negroni, I was like, this was a big fucking mistake.
I was the exact same. I was one of the I hate to admit it. I was one of those people that fell into the trap. You know when the actress who plays
Yeah,
Rhaenyra,
House of the
the
Dragon,
meme,
yeah.
oh my God, that absolute viral clip where she goes Negroni with Prosecco in it. I was like, okay, what is a Negroni? I need to try it. I went to the bar with my dad and my stepmom, and I was like, I'm gonna order a Negroni.
Someone knows how to
And
party.
yes, and my dad was like, really? You're having a Negroni? And I was like, yeah, I really like Negronis. I'm
Yeah.
30 now, and yeah, and it was awful, and I had to sit there and pretend that I enjoyed it. And he obviously could tell right in my
Oh
face when I took
yeah.
the first sip and was like,
Yeah.
ugh.
But
I'm
wait,
pretty sure the barman probably knew as well.
you didn't get it with Prosecco?
No, because I don't like Prosecco.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you not like champagne?
I don't mind champagne, but if I was to drink a glass of Prosecco, I would be, what we would say here in Newcastle, I'd be mortal.
What does that mean?
Extremely drunk.
Oh, that's why I love it. I got four bottles in my
No.
car right now.
No, I get so crazy on Prosecco. I don't know what
That,
it is.
oh yeah, Champagne Brett. There's a
No,
champagne.
no, no,
Oh yeah,
no.
no,
I
yeah.
can't do
Oh,
it.
wait. Does that
But
mean there's?
it
Wait.
completely
Hold on.
wipes
Hold
my
on.
memory as well, though. It's that's
Wait.
what I don't like.
Okay, I'm not listening because I'm really putting this out. Is there a Champagne Lucy?
I don't think I've ever drank enough champagne to be drunk off
Or Prosecco? Or
champagne.
Prosecco? I'm putting them together. Bubbly.
Oh, okay. Oh, hell yeah. There
Oh
is.
fuck. Okay. Well, too bad. You're doing that next time we're together.
No,
Oh
she makes
yes.
awful decisions.
That's the fun. Okay.
It might be okay if I was on the other side of the world,
That's what I'm saying when you're
you
over
know.
here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm coming to San Diego this year. There's my
If
announcement
there
for
you
the
go.
podcast. In San Diego, I'll drink all the champagne you can get me, but not when I'm like out at my local pub.
Oh no. Well,
Fuck
actually,
that.
I mean, I do that. I don't give a shit about that. But yes, okay, San Diego.
Yeah.
Champagne Lucy and Champagne Brett.
On the
Champagne on the
beach.
path.
Oh yeah.
Fucking everywhere. I don't give a shit in the fucking broom closet. I don't fucking
Oh
care. But you want to see me? That's what we're saying. You want to see me get fucking with it? Give me some fucking champagne and it's
I
on.
don't mind being drunk
Or
and being
Prosecco.
silly, but it's just for some reason when I have bubbly drinks like that, it really wipes my memory.
I
Like
don't get
I'll have
blackout.
large I do, and it's really scary and I don't like it. Like large
Interesting.
chunks of the night, I don't remember moving from bar to bar, you know, the taxi home. I'll just look at my Ring doorbell and be like, okay, I got in at that
Where
time. Like, no
did
idea.
I
So
get home?
that's why I try and stay away from it.
All right. Yeah, okay, well, there we go. Oh, we'll figure that out. All right,
Yeah.
so Cal and Jacob make a day date to meet at the food court, which, okay.
And they go shopping.
Yeah, they go shopping, but first we get, do 13-year-old kids need a babysitter? No, right?
I mean, yeah, not a babysitter as such, but a minder, I would say,
At
yeah.
13?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say so.
I would have thought maybe like 10 or 11, yes. But like 12 or 13, really a babysitter? Okay.
Nowadays, yeah.
Nowadays, well, oh yeah, because kids are. I'm leaving that in for you. Y'all can use your imagination because I can't say it. I can't say it. All right, holy shit, is that Josh Groban?
Josh Groban.
Groban, the singer, the guy, the boss, her boyfriend,
Oh, I
Hannah.
didn't know that.
You know who Josh Groban is, though, right?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Josh
Josh
Rogan.
Groban.
Groban.
He's like a huge singer.
Oh, no, I don't know who this is.
He sold 25 million records.
No, he hasn't. You're joking.
I'm not making this up. He's a massive, well-known singer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why is he in this film?
I don't know. It's his first movie, but he likes his girls to pop. That's my second Always Sunny reference. People keep thinking, oh, you bring up 9/11. Ah, fuck. Shit. Okay. Well, fuck. That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
I'm changing the board. It's 0 days
That doesn't,
since we
no, that
mentioned
doesn't count. That
9/11.
doesn't count. I'm using it in reference. I'm using it in reference. People say I bring up 9/11 all the time, or we talk about Twilight. I bring up Always Sunny, I swear, more than both of those.
Yeah, but maybe I don't realize that as much because I've never watched Always Sunny, so I don't know if you're making a reference.
That's true. That's a good point. Okay. All right. That does not count for the 9/11. All right.
Okay, I'll put the board back.
There you go. Back to it.
The
Back to
Twilight one is on zero.
two episodes. That was because of you last week. All right. They talk about marriage or some bullshit, whatever. We'll come back to it. All right. At the food court. And this right here. Oh, fucking K. That Ryan Gosling is sitting here eating a Sbarro's pizza. There are more carbs in a bite of that pizza than this bitch has eaten in a week. He is not fucking eating Sbarro's pizza.
No, not with these abs.
Not
that
with
we
these.
See later.
See, that's the interesting thing too, because he's fucking cut to shit, fucking washboard, but he has like no muscular definition in like his arms. Like he's got it. You can see it in his chest a little bit and like shoulders somewhat.
Yeah.
But his arms have like no muscular definition.
All abs.
It's all core work. And
chicks dig abs.
Yeah, like calisthenics. Because I looked at him, I'm just like, oh, of course you can be that, blah, blah, blah. But then like he has his shirt on and his V-neck shirt, and it's up past like his bicep. And I'm like, you know what? I have a long sleeve shirt on now. You probably can see it there. I have more definition in my arms right now than him there. And I'm like, okay. I've got that on him. He was also 30 when this came out.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
When it came out. So he's probably like 29 when he did it. So I'm like, yeah, Ryan Gosling, there you go.
I got you.
Yeah. So shopping spree.
I love some of these scenes because Ryan Gosling just does the most amazing face of disgust.
He's
when
so...
Cal opens his Velcro wallet.
God, yes,
it was just brilliant. And that's one of the best memes from the film, is him looking in disgust in his sunglasses. Looking
oh, I
up
don't
and
remember
down.
That one.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
I'll send it to you later. It's a great gif, reaction gif, yes, of disgust.
Okay,
yeah.
No, I have down as well multiple cackle moments from Ryan Gosling. This is when I realized, yeah, like, okay, this dude's fucking got it.
He's so good.
Deserved that nomination, Golden Globe, for musical or comedy. But what stood out to me, and this is going to get, it's going to hit close to me, all right? I've mentioned my favorite baseball team, the Oakland Athletics, a few times, all right? When he says, like, can I just go to the Gap? And Ryan Gosling just fucking runs out of the movie. And Steve Carell has to go drag him back into it. This gif was actually just sent to me. He grabs him by the face, be better than the Gap.
Yeah.
And I just was like, holy shit, thank you, movie. Yes, be better than the Gap. Because fuck John Fisher, the owner of the Oakland Athletics and like heir to the Gap fortune.
Okay.
Fuck the Gap and fuck John Fisher with 1,000 rusty pitchforks.
Whoa.
Yes. They're moving the A's to Las Vegas because of this cunt. And he's the heir to the Gap fortune. Like his granddad, I think, started it.
Okay, so we are better than the Gap.
We are much better. Every time I walk by this outlet mall I go to, there's a Gap outlet. And every time I see it, I just so childishly like flip it off. Some people walking by are like, did that fucking grown man just flip off a store? I mean, yes, I did. And I'll own it.
That's so funny.
I will own it. Yeah. All right, so we get this kind of, it's part of the montage or whatever. Or just in general, how many guys do you think tried all this shit on women because they think they're Ryan Gosling in a movie?
Oh, like the, you want to get out of here?
You want to get out of here? Just asking the questions, going up to women and just trying to. And I'm just like, this is that meme, that sexual harassment meme, where somebody comes and is like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, that's so nice of you. And then like a fat, ugly person or whatever comes up, says the same thing. It's like, human resources. That's what this meme is, okay? If you look like Ryan Gosling, you can say a lot of things and do a lot of things. If you don't look like that, you're going to get human resources called on you.
In the work environment, I would not recommend doing this ever.
Well, just
in the bar, go for it.
In the bar, go for it. But I'm just saying, like, how many guys are just like, yeah, this is what went. Even this is another thing that had me gripping my armrests. This movie goes so close to the negging.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, people don't know what negging is. I envy you so much. It's what Steve Carell does to Marissa Tomei's character at the beginning when she's like, I'm a teacher, boring. You got to tell stuff like that. That is negging. That was a massive thing that I grew up into. Fucking Tucker Max an early MRA, men rights activist kind of things. Like that was the thing they said to do, was like neg on a girl and, oh, that'll make her want you more. The fact that you don't want them will make you want them and all that shit. So it kind of towed that line, but it didn't go over.
Yes, I was glad that that wasn't well received, because I was worried for a second. There's so much of this movie that I forgot, and I was like, oh, okay, where am I going with this bit? Okay.
It's a different lens, though. It's just a different fucking world
that's true.
Now.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah, that we get to go see. All right, so $800 bar tab. And
I have the exact same thing written down. Like, what the fuck?
$800 bar tab, and I have fed a college basketball roster and staff of like 28 people for under that multiple times.
What were they drinking? How long have they been at this bar?
Champagne. I saw the champagne right above it. There were a couple things, which is probably going to be like fucking Dom or some shit.
Yes, and they'll be ordering the real expensive shit.
Yes, people, I've worked at a liquor store for 2 years. I've tasted so much goddamn champagne. I've tasted Dom. I've tasted all those fucking $100 ones, $200 ones. Do not spend that much on a bottle of champagne, okay? Find one you like. You can easily find one around this Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex easily for like $40 or so, like a really good one for like $40. Find that one and drink it, because, yes, it is vastly different than a Prosecco.
Yeah, Prosecco is no thank you.
Yeah, but it's party Brett time with Prosecco. See, you got me.
The devil juice.
Oh, you got me thinking already. Tomorrow brunch. Oh, I'm thinking about brunch already.
Oh, brunch. Yeah, if I was at brunch, I'd have some Prosecco. A wee glass with some orange juice in it.
I would just have a wee bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, try you like pineapple juice? You like pineapple juice?
I love pineapple juice, yeah.
I've been turned on to pineapple juice for the mimosa, and it's fucking life-changing.
Pineapple juice with tequila is life-changing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So here, what I've done a few times recently is, because I'm not super into, like, when we drink tequila, we do shots of tequila, not like a margarita. So a shot of tequila is horrible. You know, it's just straight tequila.
No, stop.
It burns the throat if you're not accustomed to it.
One, because you're drinking shit, and two, because you're not Mexican.
Exactly. Okay. I'm explaining to you how I got past
it. Better watch that tequila slander, though, here. You're talking to a Mexican. It's not for you.
I like nice tequila.
There you go.
So Patron.
Thank you.
Love it.
There you go. Okay.
But the one, if you just go to a bar and order a shot of tequila, Cuervo, you're not getting nice stuff. Yeah. You're not getting nice stuff.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, it's like 3 for £5. And I'm like, no, thank
you. Oh, my God.
It burns the throat. Okay.
Oh, so, that is terrible.
Yeah, it's awful. It's so bad. So somebody said to me, I was at the bar and I was like, no, I don't want a shot of tequila. Absolutely not. And they said, just have a shot of pineapple juice straight after. And I was like, that's weird, but okay, I'll try it. And honestly, it was the most bizarre thing, because I was like bracing myself for the burn. And then if you have the shot of pineapple juice straight after, it's like nothing happened. It's so weird, but I've never had it in a drink mixed together. No, you just do 2 shots. Shot the tequila, shot the pineapple juice. And it's like just regular old day.
I might just try to mix it, because you want to
make a drink out of it.
Drink up my alley, obviously. Half Mexican in here. Mm-hmm. Got the tequila. Where was I born? What state?
Hawaii.
There you go. So that sounds
like perfect mix.
Sounds like a Brett drink right there. Okay.
Yeah, see if you can make some kind of long drink out of it. That'd be nice.
I will be drinking that tonight. Pineapple tequila. There we go. I like it. Okay.
Exciting.
All right. So Demi Moore, he sends, God damn it, Brett. Try to lead in who you're fucking talking about. All right. Robbie sends a text message to Jessica that Demi Moore is 15 years older than Ashton Kutcher, and they seem happy. And you know what? I think 15 years is a good age difference. I think
do
that
you?
Is. I do. I do think that.
Why do you think that?
No reason. I just think it's a very good age difference. Okay, moving on.
But the difference is Robbie's talking about it the other way around.
That's not good. I can't condone that. Older women should not be. Well, no, actually, you can't condone that. Okay. That was my single life. The women being 15 years older. That's my single life.
Not for settling down, no.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there you go. Okay. I didn't even put that together until now. All right. So that's there. But I do think it's funny when they mention, like, Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, they seem happy. Yeah, they don't now.
No, they do not.
there was an age like milk right there. All right, so yes, the babysitter. And I asked if they said their name, but it is Jessica, because I didn't know.
It is Jessica, yeah.
Until later. She tells him that to stop. It is making her uncomfortable. And all I have down is, I cannot wait to see how this plays out. At this point now, I was on red alert.
Yeah, I know. I was desperate to remember how it sort of transpired after this, because she's very straightforward with him.
And like, this is what, and yes, this is a good thing to girls out there.
Yes.
To girls, women, all of that. That's how you do it. Just say, please stop.
Straight up.
It's making me uncomfortable. And that's all you have to say. And then you have to gauge their reaction. And when she put that in there, I was like, good for her, but he's not going to stop.
Yeah. This 13-year-old kid who's, you know, some kind of helpless romantic is not going to take the, I was going to say not take the hint, but it wasn't even a hint. It was like very clear.
Yeah, there was no hint. She had hinted before. Like, she had hinted before. Like, yeah, that would do it. And yeah. All right. So Cal and for some reason, what I have down is next, or what I have down next is Cal and Emily better not get back together. I swear.
Oh,
but well, honestly, mainly
what made you say that?
No, what made me say it was just about every single movie from like the 90s, particularly. And I know that because that's when I was a kid growing up. I saw every fucking movie like that. Those movies were written by like these boomers and older Gen Xers. Screenwriters who had fucking been divorced and whose wife had left them.
Yeah.
And so they always write this screenplay of a couple that breaks up. And then, oh, lo and behold, they realize they have to get back together.
Yeah.
And like, this was something I fucking dealt with my previous breakup and my engagement, was falling into that mindset of, oh, I bet she just needs some time, or maybe I can show her that we'll be back together and that I've changed. And it's like, that's not real fucking life. Real fucking life is people break up, they grow apart, and then you move on from that. You grow as a person, and then you find somebody that is even better for you and that's even happier. You don't sit around waiting for the other person to come to their senses while you just fucking chill there. No, you move on. And like, that's now my life. And so when I see stuff like that, I'm so glad they didn't really get back together at the end.
Yes.
But now when I see movies when they do get back together, I'm like, I don't fucking like that, because that just does not fucking happen. Like, be a better person because of that previous relationship.
Mm-hmm. Learn from it. And actually, I don't buy it when, like, I really like the ending of this. I don't know, we're jumping ahead, but I liked that they said they both want to work on it. They're not sure if it's going to work out, but we're all going to try and it's fine.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just like, oh, we kissed and we're mom and dad are back together. Dad's moving back in, you know. I really like the ending, but I agree. I don't buy it when they just randomly decide to put all the differences aside and try again in this hopeless relationship.
It was just wishful thinking. And for all its problems, I'm sure it's a movie we will cover. Mrs. Doubtfire kind of had that, where they didn't get back together at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like about that. Chris Columbus. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, gosh.
talk about fucking 6 degrees. Fucking, we did so many goddamn Chris Columbus movies.
I know.
We might end up doing his filmography before Michael Bay, who we actually want to do. All right, so we get this line at the office with Emily and Robbie. Mom's crying in bed. He says he Googled it, and he searched it up, and apparently it was like porn. And I looked up, I Googled mom crying in bed, and it's straight porn.
Are you joking?
I am joking. Yeah, it is. But I did instantly Google it to see if what he said was it.
And it wasn't porn?
It was the opposite. It was a bunch of Reddit questions of, my mom's been crying in bed every night. What do I do? And I'm like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, my God.
I know.
No, I
like,
don't want to read that. Sorry,
yeah,
kids.
I clicked on porn immediately. I mean, to wash that out.
Yeah. I can't go.
Pulling that rug out, and just when you step back up, I re-pull it back out. All right. Well, how about something a little bit more up your alley? How about the working out scene?
Oh, my God. I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yeah, I was being serious there. Yeah.
The next line I have written down is her saying, you're asking to pre-board the Titanic. And I thought you were going to make some kind of joke about it coming from Belfast.
Oh, you know what? You gave me a lot of credit there. I always forget that it departed from Belfast because it was built in Liverpool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I always forget.
Built in Liverpool, went to Belfast, departed from there. Yeah.
And went to Belfast. And that was the last bad thing to ever happen in Belfast.
Yes, of course. Yes. It's a great place.
Yes, I'm telling you, one day when I get movie requests a month, we're going to watch like Michael Collins, and it will be me for 2 hours just railing on the Troubles and the Partition of Ireland.
Oh my God.
No, I won't.
I'll sit out of this one. I'll sit out of this one.
You would protest. You do your own hunger strike and your own protest. And you're like, I'm going to pull a Bobby Sands, and I'm just going
to. I'm not doing this one.
You're not doing it. And people tune in, and it's just 2 hours of me railing on my on the movie Michael Collins.
The Troubles.
No, they won't even know. Well, they won't even know because you won't talk. They'll be like, what did I just listen to? Is it just Brett just did an episode by himself about the Troubles?
At the end, I'll just be like, yeah, you can find me at Lucy J. Robin.
Oh my God, I wish we actually would have done that. Now, for anybody that stayed listening, like, Lucy, where can we find you? Talking, they're like, whoa, wait, she was there? They're like, oh my God, I think, or what they'll do, or they'll think there was audio problems and we put it up without your thing. God. Oh, that would have been oh my God. That would have been an awesome April Fool's Day episode. Fuck. I might have to cut all of this out.
And just do that.
And then we do it. Oh man. Okay. God.
Oh my
God. Great.
That's so funny.
All right. So we get the working out scene.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Also going back, I don't want to get too fucking into this and talk about what it is, but for any, you speak for guys, women, do whatever you want, but I think it's good for women too, but especially guys. I'm telling you, when I went through my breakup, I had all the time in the world and I didn't want to come back home.
Was it like COVID time as well?
And this was 2021. So, okay. yes,
so
but not
still
lockdown.
Kind of lockdown. Yeah, yeah.
But not in Texas.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
Not in Tarrant County where I live. There was no, never really that, okay? But literally, I was just like, I have nothing to do at home. I have nothing to do, period. I'm just going to go hit the fucking gym.
Yeah.
And I hit the fucking gym. And it made me feel fucking good about myself. Yeah. First and foremost, no doubt, okay? But then, that was for the first time in my fucking life I started getting actual like noticeable stuff from like women or just pictures of going on a date. Like kids in school are just like, have you been working out? I'm like, yes, I actually have.
Aww.
It was so fucking good to have that. At first that I did, it was like, I got to get good looking again to date, but it became about me and it became about feeling good about myself. And then like, I did it also because I would go home and then cry myself to sleep. So I was like,
so relatable.
Yes. And it was like, if I go home, as soon as I get in this room, I'm going to start fucking crying in a depressed state. And so that kind of put it off. But I cannot fucking recommend that to guys of all ages.
Yeah.
If you get fucking dumped, and I got dumped, I'm not going to hide that. Okay. I got dumped. Hit the fucking gym.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good as well, like just in any, if you are going through anything big, I know breakups is a massive one, but anything that's like really weighing on your mind, it's really good to get into something else. I'm not good at going to the gym. Like anytime I've been through a breakup, I just lose loads of weight without even trying. And it's like, it's bad. So I'm like, I'm not going to go to the gym anyway. But I've gotten really into swimming recently, which I'm really enjoying.
Ooh, that I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's about the best workout you can do overall, cardio, strength, all of that shit. Swimming is fucking awesome.
It's been good because I have never been able to find something at the gym that I really enjoy and can do without like hating every second of it. And I've always loved swimming. So I changed gyms and I went to one with a pool and I haven't been swimming in years. So I went for the first time like a few weeks ago and I was fucking exhausted and I felt like I was about to starve. I thought I was going to collapse when I got out of the swimming pool. And then I went a couple of days ago and what I really struggled with on day one, I absolutely flew through a few days ago. So that's only like 3 weeks of going. So it's really cool seeing improvements and stuff. So it's nice to just try something different if you don't really enjoy the gym that much.
You're going to get them lats going. Get
I know.
Lats.
I don't want to end up looking like,
but here's
like
the thing
triangle.
Though. So one thing I love to do is pull-ups. I do them all the time. When I went to the chiropractor, the guy was like, are you a swimmer? And I was like, okay.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah.
No, I do a lot of pull-ups. So, you know, because my lats are there. I'm like, that's the biggest fucking compliment.
Oh no.
You're making me so jealous because I had a home from 2010 to 2012 and I had a pool.
Oh, did you?
Oh my God, I miss it so fucking much. But like you said, I would do his little play pool, maybe 20 feet long. I would do like down and back, down and back. And I was fucking huffing and puffing.
Oh my God. But what I like about it is if I was to do running or cycling and I would get like obviously get out of breath and stuff, but I'd be all sweaty and I feel gross and I hate that. But in the swimming pool, you don't get that.
I love it.
I hate feeling sweaty and gross. So whenever I go to the pool, that's eliminated. Obviously, you still feel out of breath, but you don't feel sweaty or really hot or anything. So that's, it's kind of perfect for me.
There you go. See, I've been getting into bike, like cycling, like a bike, like spin and stuff like that. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Look at that. So y'all swim, do all that. There's the physical activity, exercise advice from On the Path. Approved right there.
Yes.
All right. So we're back at the bar and I said, I have down at the bar. He decides to hit on someone just chilling. I guess that means it's Cal. Cal hits on this woman who kind of standing by the side, and it's Marissa Tomei. And I'm just like, I'm just imagining, like, if this is a bar where people are just always fucking like hitting on people, how the fuck is Marissa Tomei just chilling over there by herself?
I know. What the hell? She's so beautiful, but her character is so funny in this film.
Yeah. And then she's not even driving a Buick Skylark.
What's that?
My cousin Vinny.
Oh, I don't know.
My biological clock is ticking over here.
I don't know that film.
She won the Academy Award.
Oh, wow.
For supporting actress.
I did read that. Yeah,
for My Cousin Vinny. That's what she wanted in. But the 77 Buick Skylark. Yeah, she's got a crazy-ass New York City accent there going on.
But I just love what I really like about this film and what I think it does really well is, like, reveals. Like, later on, obviously, there's a big reveal at the end. But then even this, her character's reveal, she ends up later on, like, because you almost forget about this character. You think she's just this, you know, woman that Cal randomly sleeps with and you forget about her. And then later on, it turns out to be the teacher. And I was like, oh, that's so clever. The way they
she says she's a teacher. Yep.
Yes. And if you go back and rewatch it, you'll notice, oh my God, she even says she's a teacher around here. Like, oh, it all just clicks into place.
And it's very noticeable for me, obviously, as a teacher, whenever someone says they're a teacher, but I did not put it together. But when that happened, I kind of did a little double take. Well, because I'm like, oh, fucking Love Actually. Is everybody interconnected? So we'll go back to that. Okay.
Yes,
we'll go back to that
once
we get there. But I will say, definitely good advice that Ryan Gosling, who's, when he first came up, I'm like, oh my God, he's a fucking MRA womanizer in that sense. But he is absolutely correct here as well. Do not talk about yourself unless it's pertinent to what, again, speaking as a guy. Do not talk about yourself unless it's pertinent to what they are saying, okay?
Yeah.
But there are times on dates that I've been on in the past where, like, the woman would not shut the fuck up. And so have you ever been on a date where that has happened, where the date would not stop talking? There was one time this woman non-fucking-stopped talking to where I finished my drink, and I think she had, like, one sip.
You want to know if I've never stopped talking on a
date?
No,
the opposite.
If my date.
Have you ever had it where a guy just would not stop talking?
Yes. And he was just talking about the most fucking bullshit I've ever heard. Ever.
Finance, business.
No, it was like, it was business. Yeah. It's talking about his business and his rules for dating. And I was like, I don't give up. Like, and the best part is, I don't even remember what the rules were because I was just drinking. Like you said, they were talking and I was drinking and he was driving. So he was sober and I was drinking. I was like, I'm going to have to drink this whole bottle of wine.
I got to get through this.
Yeah. And I just remember going home and texting my friends being like, he told me about his rules for dating. But I don't
what were some of those rules?
I don't remember. It was really, really dumb. I'll have a look back through my text history and see if I can find the text that I sent my friends that night. And I'll maybe share some of the rules later if I remember them.
Was he about your age?
He was my age. Yeah. Okay. This would have been probably like three, 4 years ago.
So a guy in his 20s?
Yeah. Oof. Mid to late 20s. Oof. Thinks he's got it all worked out.
Guys in your 20s out there listening. Okay. If you're having problem with dating, it's you. With all due respect, listener, it is you. DM me. If you want, I'm telling you, guys in their 20s, y'all have a fucking problem, okay? Y'all have a problem. DM me, we'll fucking
I think
talk
we need to
it.
Set up a new channel in the Discord, dating channel.
You know what? Honestly, that's not a bad idea. If it's like dating, you have a man and have a woman in there to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I like it. Okay. The wink. This is where we get it from. The wink gif, where Steve Carell gives the wink and does like that. That's what it's from,
holding
okay?
The drink.
Yes. I jumped up at that. Had no idea.
I love that meme. It's a great one.
Yeah. Okay, well, fuck. Kate. Kate is Marissa Tomei's name.
Yes.
And this bitch down bad because he almost fucks it up. He pulls it back real quick, and then she is eating up his drunken, mentally ill ramblings here. Because they go back and they start banging.
She loves his honesty. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she loves his honesty.
I loved the moment where he tries out, you know, the first line that Jacob taught him is like, I'm going to buy you a drink. No, no, I insist.
Yes. Okay,
and she just goes, well, I'm 5 years sober.
Excellent.
He panics. I thought, oh, that's brilliant.
He's like, nope, go away. Waitress, go away. Go away. We're good.
Step one.
Excellent.
He's just fumbled. Yes. Fumbled immediately.
Yes. Very good. That pulled the rug out for me. I was not expecting that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he gives her the, you are the perfect combination of sexy and cute line, which is something he used to say to his wife. And that's going to come back and bite him in the ass.
Would that line work on you?
Combination of sexy and cute.
Has a pickup line ever worked on you? Can you think of it? Because this shit, this is movie shit.
No, it is movie shit.
It is movie shit, man.
I can't picture or think of someone using a line.
The line that people use in the line quote that I would use is something in the moment. It's something they're wearing. It's something they're doing. It's something they're drinking.
It's not like a pre-scripted thing. Yeah.
Yes, it's called being clever and witty, mm-hmm. which again, guys out there in the 20s, okay? I don't care how much you fucking bench or do anything like that. Mm-hmm. Be clever. Be witty. It's your personality that's going to get you fucking laid. The looks truly... Looks get you in the door, you know, the looks will get you the date, and mm-hmm. then it's your personality and everything like that that will get you actually.
I wish I could remember if anyone's tried a line on me. No, people don't approach me, so I think if they did,
don't?
They'd be like, hello. No, people never.
The Newcastle, never. The Jordy Bros.
No, I think I'm unapproachable. I got a bitch face.
I was about to say that. That's what I was thinking. I was like, what does that say about you? I was like, that says
what
about
do you. Remember when we went out? Do you remember when we went out in Newcastle and that we got speaking to I nearly had a slip there. A group of guys, and they said to me, "Are you gay?"
The military bros.
Yeah, the military bros. They were like, "Oh, you're single?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they go, "Oh, why are you gay?"
Oh my! That my biggest fucking regret was not getting a picture with those guys.
I know they were an experience. Yeah.
Yes, they were okay. These were like British paratroopers.
Yeah, right? I don't know how we ended up. They were all like for like a birthday night out or something.
I know how it ended up. It's because they came over to call me gay because I was drinking a half Guinness, a half pint.
Yeah. That is why it all started.
They didn't even know that I was like American or that we were friends. For all they could have known, it was like our first date or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They came over because one guy was being shipped out or leaving or something like that. But the guy came over to call me gay for drinking a mini half Guinness. And of course, I'm just like, dude, I just got it. Of course, then they perk up to be like, what the fuck is this?
They're like, why is a guy from Texas?
Why is a guy from Texas here? And then, oh my God, I wish we got a picture of them so bad, so bad.
The whole conversation was just ridiculous. And every time someone new came over, they'd be like, because there was a big group of guys, right? Yeah, so we were talking to two, and then another one would come over and be like, hey, why is this dude wearing a baseball cap in Newcastle?
Why is drinking a half Guinness?
Drinking a half pint of Guinness. And who's this girl here? Why is this just so confusing for everyone?
Why is this one girl here? But they got me a full one. And I was like, okay, I got them shots.
That was their thing. Yeah, they were like, we can't have you here drinking a half pint. We'll get you a full
and
one.
And I was like, oh, you want to call someone a pussy here? We're taking a fucking shot of tequila, okay? Get some fucking tequila. Because I remember doing that because they didn't like that. They pushed at me calling me do that, and some of them wouldn't take the shot. I'm like, oh, who's a fuck? And I was mouthing off because
we're a little mouthy.
I was mouthy because here's the thing. All right, you want to come over, call me a pussy and gay or whatever for drinking a half Guinness, and you're gonna take a fucking shot. Oh, you're not gonna take a shot. Who's the blah 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 now? Okay, it's good we don't have a transcript of everything I said there because I might have gone back to 1995 with the language with them. That might have been it. Old Brett came out, young Brett came out. And that right there. Okay, so Jessica talks with her friend Madison at school.
Oh my God.
Who is noticeable for fucking older men. And at that point, I'm like, no, no.
Yeah, it's awkward when we start getting these things with Jessica because she's meant to be 17.
Yeah, this is high school.
Yeah, she's a young, you know, she's a girl and she's talking about these things with her friends. And then she goes home and starts taking photos of herself. And it's so awkward.
For some reason, I have, oh my God, Robbie, what the fuck is this? Robbie, stop it. What was Robbie doing at this time? Oh, the scaffold. He was outside with the scaffold. Remember,
oh
he was
God,
outside,
yes,
saying he loved.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
no. Yeah. Why does he do this? Why?
Robbie, no. But she finally like puts him in his place. Hopefully. Yes. Hopefully. No, but we know that's not it. That's not it.
Oh, we see Emma Stone and her friend again.
Do we?
Yeah. They see. Oh, yeah. She's at this party. It's where her friend, Emma Stone's friend, sees Jacob at the bar, and her friend sees them both there, and she's begging Hannah to come and join them.
She wants to bang Jacob through Hannah so bad.
Oh my God, yeah. Everything, yeah.
Do you have girlfriends that are like that? Because this is another trope in a movie, is the super horny, super bubbly friend who's trying to get laid by proxy, like trying to get laid. Do you ever have a friend like that? Do you know anybody like that?
No. What I do have is all of my friends are in relationships, right? So they live through me.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, I was gonna be like, oh no, is that bad or really?
No. I'm just saying, what I'm saying is they're all in relationships. So
the single life through. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. They're like, you. So when we go on a night out, they're like, go and speak to him. And I'm not in, I don't like to speak to people.
Well, it's a wonder you're single.
I know. Imagine.
No, wait. So hold up. Let me get straight. No one approaches you and you don't like to speak to people. Okay.
Listen, I'm living my best life. I'm very content.
You need a cat. You need a little kitty.
I do.
You need
I
a
do.
Kitty.
I would love
kitty.
A cat. Yeah,
get
but I travel kitty. Too much. And
that's
I'll
a,
be like, how
but
do
But that's
I?
A good, good thing about, do you have a neighbor you trust?
Yeah.
Or friend? Friends?
Yes,
get it,
yeah.
They can come over, feed the cat, play with the cat for a little bit.
To be
clean
fair,
litter.
Lots of people have said they would look after my cat for me when I go away.
That's your goal now. Get a kitty.
Yeah, but that's just, it's just funny. When we do go out, we don't go out loads. We go out, you know, maybe every other month or so, we'll go out in Newcastle town.
Yeah.
And that my friends would just be relentless. You know, if they see a group of guys, they'll just be like, she's calling people over. And that, you know, they just live through me because I am the single person. And then they come over and speak to me and I'm like, I'm not interested in this.
I'm sorry.
Please just talk to my friends for a bit.
Talk to my friends. Yeah. All right, so we get to the parent-teacher conference, and of course, there it's Kate. And what she is. What a bitch Cal is. Oh, this is my wife. This is my wife here. No, we don't know. Dude, come on, man.
Just own it. He should have just been honest in that moment about what had happened.
And that's the thing that I do think is a movie thing, or it's a fucking boomer thing, or it's a generational thing. And it's like, y'all are separated. She separated you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all
are
not together because of her. You going out and fucking smashing, banging some strange is what should happen. First off, again, another thing I recommend to guys, go fucking do that. You know, get that out of your system or whatever it is like that. And then you can reevaluate what you maybe want. But it's like, that just seems kind of a thing of what it is. This was on her, but I hate from his character, not from his screen or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is when I really fucking turned on his character. Because what he does now, for like the next 20, 30 minutes of the movie, I'm like, fuck this dude. He's horrible.
Yes. Yeah. This was the beginning of the end, really. He should have just been honest about what had happened. You're exactly right. She had no reason to. Obviously, she might have hurt and she might have been hurt and felt awkward in the situation, but she wouldn't have had any right to have been upset with him for doing that. But I also really thought the teacher's reaction was completely unhinged and unprofessional as well. And I don't understand how she had a job by the end of this.
No. Again, if I would have, at open house, if I yell down the hallway, something asshole or whatever, of which probably a dozen parents heard, Yeah, I'm probably going to have some time away. I would not be introducing the salutatorian at graduation for sure. Okay.
Yeah, they let her get away with it though, because she's recovering. What else does she have? She said she kept saying she's a recovering alcoholic, and then there was something else. I can't remember.
I thought that was it. I don't know.
Yeah, but Kyle tries to use that against her, which was strike one for me.
Good God, man. And of course, she then, whatever. I will never say a woman overreacts, because I have seen the Barbie movie.
Yes.
And I am an ally. But Cal gets double caught and all this stuff he says. Apparently, he's hooked up with like eight or nine women.
Yeah. I don't know what the timeline is here. How long they've been set. How long is this movie being set over? Like a few weeks? I don't know.
I would think probably no more than like a few weeks to a month. Yeah. But hey, guys, Cal.
Nice.
Cal was knocked down a couple pegs. Now he's knocked up.
Nice. Nice.
Because I'm like, oh, Cal. And he says, I'm like, oh, shit, he's not denying it. Eight or nine. All right, boyo. There you go. I like that. Okay. I see you getting it in. You know, get that. Yeah. But then as she leaves, she's like, I'm your soulmate. I'm like, get the fuck. Okay. He's down every fucking peg. You bitch. Move on. Like, just move the fuck on, man.
It's his sweetheart.
It's your sweetheart. I've been with her since I was 15. Shut up. No, like that's, and again, it's
I'm
from
team Kyle and Emily.
But it's from personal experience. Like from now on, if something like this happens, it's like, dude, she doesn't fucking want you. Yeah. She cheated on you. Now, granted, maybe she deserved to cheat on you as well. Like if it was a loveless marriage and you can't do it and she feels like she can't talk to you about it, that's on y'all. All right.
Mm-hmm.
She fucking slept with another, he fucked another dude. While you were married, she then says, I want a divorce. Move on, man. You're fucking better than her.
Yeah. They have that whole conversation just before they go in to speak to the teacher. And they kind of both admit their wrongdoings. And he says, obviously, you slept with someone else, but I'm mostly mad at myself for just giving up on the whole marriage. And they talk about it all. Yeah. But doesn't go his way.
It don't. Richard, Josh Groban, does not propose when she graduates or whatever, and instead offers her a position at the firm, but needs time to process long-term. It's smooth move, dipshit.
Oh my God, this was infuriating, because this whole storyline, I feel like maybe every girl has been in this situation before where you've kind of lowered your standards and just wanted to be in a relationship, felt like it was the right time to be in a relationship or whatever, so you go with the person. And you have to maybe almost convince yourself that you find them attractive or that you like them. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, I'm not really that interested in you. And you can't, you're so embarrassed and can't believe that you put yourself in the situation. And she just storms out to go and find the hot guy at the bar. I thought, good for you.
Well, before she storms out, she chugs a fucking glass
of gin.
Straight gin. And I about threw up.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I probably.
But you like gin.
I like gin, but I don't drink it that often because it's crazy.
Okay, I never drink gin because it's fucking disgusting.
It's crazy.
I'll pull back. You know what? I'm sorry. You like gin. You bagged on tequila and I took umbrage at it. You like gin. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll pull it back. I do not care for gin, but heard the thought of chugging it.
No. Gin is up there with. Gin, like, obviously I was talking about Prosecco earlier, making me crazy. Gin is very, very dangerous.
Ooh.
Like, I can have, like, one gin with a lot of mixer. Okay. But if I start having double gins, which I never order, but one of my friends, Kieran Kiwi, always orders doubles and tries to pretend that they're not doubles, but I can taste that they are.
Of course you can taste it.
But, crazy. My mind.
No, that's not okay. Now I know something that maybe look crazy with them. All right, so you mentioned she goes to that bar. Apparently, the only fucking bar in town. Apparently,
this everybody is the goes only to, one he goes
to. Wherever they live. All right, she shoves her tongue down Jacob's gullet and says, "You want to take me home?" Okay, so they go home, and so she chugged that gin earlier. We get mentioned before the old fashioned. She chugs, not one but two old fashions. No, okay. No, I like an old fashioned, okay? Last weekend at the bar I was at, got an old fashioned. I start sipping on it. Oh, our table's ready at another bar. And I have to quickly drink this old fashioned with a straw. I could not fucking do it. If anybody out there, film yourself chugging two old fashions and then showing yourself as being okay, I don't know what we'll fucking give you. We'll give you something. A special thing, I don't know. We'll write it down or whatever, okay? Because the thought of chugging two old fashions after that is fucking... No fucking way. No.
Yeah. No, this is probably the most unrealistic part of the whole movie. It's just impossible that you could do that and not vomit.
Or without just coughing it up or something. Not too fucking... easy. And then, oh my God, this drove me crazy. The old fashions. So someone like me, who's a keen whiskey aficionado, mm-hmm. I know I say that a different way. This is fucking Pappy. Pappy Van Winkle is what is on his nightstand.
Okay.
This type of whiskey. Some of them are like $1,000. It is it might even be a 20 year. It is an exceptional, expensive whiskey. And if he's making old fashions with Pappy, he needs to be fucking summarily executed immediately.
She's just necking them.
And she is chugging Pappy. Oh, no, if I was ever going to punch my screen, it was to try to grab that bottle of Pappy away from the old fashions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just thinking about it makes me kind of shudder.
The chugging, yes. I can taste it from me trying to drink it last weekend. But so you may have noticed I may have been using a term for sexual intercourse. And we get to this right here where she says, are we going to bang? And Ryan Jacob goes, are people still saying bang? And I was like, I do.
Yeah, you still say bang.
I still say bang and my notes keep saying it. So that's another thing. I'm like, dude, is this Jacob coming here like serendipitously to tell me to not drink vodka cranberries and not say bang?
Mm-hmm. This is aimed at like our age group, isn't it?
But bang is so funny. Just
it
again,
is funny.
Then
I feel
banged.
Like it's come back around now, hasn't it? Like there would have been a time where we say, oh, no, don't say that anymore. But now we're saying it because it's funny.
No, I've always said it.
No, we don't say it here.
What about plow? I say that.
No, plow? No.
He plowed her. He plowed him.
No, people say shagged here.
Shagged is so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny because that's obviously nothing here.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound right when you say it.
Shagged. God. No, it's not a good idea. Shagged, baby. Austin Powers. Stay tuned. We do get, because it's a PG-13 movie, we get the only F-bomb when she sees his abs. It goes,
yes.
Fuck.
It's like you're photoshopped or something.
Yeah, and again, as I'm looking at him, I'm like, okay, the dude, again, is just fucking chiseled and
carved. Oh, my God.
But it's like you said, he's only working out core. His arms are just... they're not big. They're not defined. It's just like, damn, this dude literally has only worked out his abs, his core.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. He looks
and
great.
Up chest too. Yeah. Oh, of course he does. Of course he does. No, he's got... I could never remotely do that. Like this little V look that I wanted. I did, and I know it was only like 5 days. I did like a 5-day fat burn cut where it was pretty much like less than 2,000 calories.
Okay.
And it was 20, 30 minutes of hard ass cardio with 30 minutes of like a circuit workout of like weights and whatnot. It's over an hour. I know it's only 5 days. I'm not saying, oh, I should have like fucking 6 pack, all that. Zero noticeable difference in anything.
Okay.
I'm like, this is fucking bogus. But it's also what happens when you turn fucking 40.
Maybe.
So next week, bulking. Fucking 3,500, 4,000 calories. I'm eating everything and working out hard.
God. It's more fucking fun to eat that many calories, I think.
I could eat that so easy. Dude, cereal, pizza. I'll just eat a whole pizza. Whole pizza is about 1,100.
Oh, you don't have to eat. Okay.
What?
I thought maybe it would have to be still
I'm not Hugh
nice
Jackman.
Food.
No, I'm not Hugh Jackman. Okay. I'll just have to work out more to offset.
Yeah, I'll eat loads of pizza.
No,
yeah.
Fuck this.
I might get a pizza tomorrow night, actually.
Nice. There you go. All right. So I like this whole thing again when they talk about this move. We already talked about it here. Where he's like, give me your move. And he says, oh, it's like Dirty Dancing, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. When you have them back at your place, it's pretty much like set. At that point there, you just make your fucking move. And then you bang. Then you bang.
You don't need to dance?
No, you don't. That can lead into it. If they sure, put on some music. Oh, they want to put on some music? Yeah, let's do it. And that's when you make your move, okay? But honestly, so many times it's like, no, you just grab them and then you
get
go.
Get down to business.
Like, they're just waiting for the girl. Again, speaking this from a guy. The woman is typically just waiting for the guy to make the move.
If you've so already just, went home.
You're already home, okay? You know how many times it was literally like you get home, you pour the drink, and then you just go at it, and you don't even fucking drink it. That's what it is. It's just the means to an end. You just make your movie fucking go. It's already done.
Oh, well, he's making a big deal out of it for nothing,
because it's
then.
A fucking movie.
Yeah. And they got to do the big move.
Yes, and I just don't want people to think, like, this is fuck. You have to do this in real life. You don't fucking have to do this. No.
No, don't offer to lift people over your head.
Don't offer to do it. I saw in the trivia that she didn't realize she was deathly afraid of being picked up, and she started, going crazy.
I was going to say that. She had a panic attack. Yeah, she had a big panic attack.
It was, like, clawing her.
She tells the story on Graham Norton chat show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she told the story of, and she used to do gymnastics, and she was on those high bars, or like 6 feet above the ground, and the person who was supposed to catch her didn't, so she fell flat on her face and broke both of her arms.
Good
and
God.
Then didn't realize, obviously, was never in that kind of situation again until they went to do this big lift. Ryan Gosling lifted her over his head about 6 feet, and she had a panic attack. It's not funny. The way she tells the story is funny. And she had a panic attack, and they had to go and lie in bed and watch Labyrinth all afternoon.
Fucking Labyrinth. Like, I guess that's her comfort movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So,
is that okay? So this
listen
is where
to her tell the story, though. She's funny. Okay.
So this is where, again, it comes from watching a lot of movies, understanding how movies are made, and especially screenplays, okay? From, again, my experience of trying to be a screenwriter, writing it. In the middle of all this, they smash cut right to Steve Carell at the bar, like looking for him. And I'm like, that's really weird. And then they go back. And that planted in my head, are they related?
Like, really? Why?
Yes, because why do they smash cut to Steve Carell when they're about to have sex, when they're about to hook up? That's fucking
weird.
He's
looking for his friend.
But why interrupt this scene with a smash cut to it of them about to do it, and then boom, because we're like, oh, they're about to hook up. Oh, and then we're supposed to think of Steve Carell. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's them.
No, it won't be. No.
Yeah.
But
no,
on a first watch, I would never have noticed. Yeah.
But I would not have noticed again if I wasn't privy again. I'm trying not to sound like a fucking douchebag and be like, I figured it out because I'm a screenwriter and that. No, but it's when they do that, that's a choice. That's a creative choice.
Oh, no,
to smash cut to him, not just to Steve Carell, but him looking and not finding Jacob.
His friend. Yeah.
Not finding his friend. So I'm like, they're not fucking related. But then the only reason I didn't think they're related is nothing has ever hinted at him having he never mentioned an older daughter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or out. So that was the only thing
they
that
mentioned.
I was like,
Nana a few times, which is obviously them talking about her, but you don't
I did not put that. I would have thought it was a fucking grandma. And I was not paying enough attention.
That's the point. Yeah. That's the point.
That
that's what you're supposed to think.
Yep. All right. So they have a lot of pillow talk. And you can see, like, oh my God, he actually likes them. And so Emily and David, we get to them being out on a date, and David is cutting up his salad. Is is this normal?
I didn't notice that.
But is it better? Because I had this unbelievable fucking chicken tender Cobb salad.
Oh, lovely.
Fucking incredible. Next time you come to Dallas, we're going to go get one. The Blackfriar Pub in Uptown Dallas. We're going to go get one.
It's a pub.
It is unbelievable, and it's massive, and I had to cut up the chicken tender, but there were some pieces of lettuce that I just kind of shoved and worked in my mouth, because I'm like, I'm not cutting the lettuce.
Yeah, well, maybe you should have been more like David Lindhagen. And
I don't think I should. I don't think the movie's saying be more like that guy to cut some husband over there. Yeah, but they kiss on the front porch. Jessica interrupts.
Oh my God.
Telling Emily she doesn't want her slutty money.
Oh my God. My first favorite line is whenever she's trying to play it off that they're just colleagues. and Emily says, everything looks great. Spreadsheets.
Handshake.
Spreadsheets. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want your slutty money is so inappropriate to say to your, I don't want to say employer, but the person who's hired you for the night.
What? And an adult.
Yes. Yeah, like, an adult. Yeah.
And your parents' friend.
Your slutty money.
Like, you're going to see this woman throughout your entire
especially
life.
Especially the friend that your parents picked over Cal.
This is a woman who will be at your eventual wedding and any kind of major events that you just said slutty money. But She is in a hurry because she goes home and takes what can only be described as child porn pictures. And Robbie leaves a bouquet of flowers at her door.
On a digital camera, can we and just then, say? And yes, she prints them out.
She prints what them out, puts them in an envelope marked Cal, because this apparently is some Shakespearean comedy of errors that will happen later. I guess that'll happen later in there. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cal's raking leaves in his old house. Jacob eventually calls Cal because he fucking ghosted him, says he needs advice because he's falling for a girl and is about to meet her mother.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the big finale, I guess.
Yes, of everything coming together. Again, very Shakespearean, where everything comes together at a head. Jessica's mom finds the child porn pictures. And oh, I'm sure this will end well. And the dad gets sent on Terminator mode.
Not the vajayjay.
Not the vajayjay. Yeah, I was like, did I hear that right? I'm not going to go back.
And dad goes, I couldn't believe that she just handed the dad the photos, by the way.
Just so he can just open them on his own with the daughter, with Jessica right there
floor. No, this definitely needed to be a mother-daughter moment, in my opinion.
Okay, yeah.
I think it should have been Jessica, can I speak to you upstairs, please?
Yes,
we'll talk about this. Yeah, but no.
The screenplay was written by a man, so. Mm-hmm, or at least be like, honey, can you come into the room? So don't just hand it to him when he's watching a fucking ball game and he looks down at these pictures and all of a sudden, oh, it's my naked daughter. Why the fuck? Why want to see this shit? I can
so
believe
awful.
You. You can.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll believe you, wife, devoted you wife of like 20 years. If you tell me that, hey, there's naked pictures of her. She took them herself. I don't need to fucking see that.
Yeah, don't traumatize the man.
Yes, okay. And then I missed something. Is this like a re-proposal? What is happening with Cal and Emily?
I feel like he was trying to... Yeah, I think this was him trying to say, look, I'm going to put more effort in. He talked about how their first date, they went and did ice cream and mini golf. So he built the whole mini golf thing. I feel like it was going to be... I guess, yeah, maybe not a re-proposal of marriage, but just like, I'm in this, I'm taking it seriously, I'm going to put more effort in, but obviously it all goes to shit.
Yep, and whip, yep, daughter.
Yeah.
Emily and Cal's daughter is Hannah Banana Nana.
Yes, I loved this reveal. I think it's so well done.
Yes, and all of this comes to a head, like you said right there, and what I mentioned earlier would be a comedy of errors ensues. Everything comes out, and four dudes just wailing on each other.
So good, because you get the reveal of Hannah being the daughter. You get the interaction between Cal and Jacob, which is just hilarious because we've seen them in many situations before, but not this. And the best face is Jacob's. Again, Ryan Gosling steals the show in this whole scene of him just being like, you didn't tell me you had a fucking grown-up daughter. Whatever accent he's doing.
Yeah, you didn't tell me you had a daughter. That's something you say. Well, and then who shows up at the end?
David Lindenhagen.
And then, of course, Jacob's like, wait, you're David Lindenhagen? And he takes off his ring and it's
and
like,
fucks him.
Hey, everybody out there, but primarily men, if you see a guy and they take off their ring, they're about to punch somebody.
Yeah. I loved this moment though, because they've obviously been in a big fight and he's still like, do you know how much pain and suffering you caused my friend?
Yeah, he's my friend.
I loved that moment. Yeah. And then they've got the babysitter's dad in the mix as well, thinking that his ex-friend has been having an inappropriate relationship with his teenage daughter. Yeah. And there's also a tiny moment as well where Hannah thinks that her dad has been having a relationship. And she goes, oh, God, when she realizes what the dad is beating up her dad over. And I was like, oh, that's like half a second. But yeah, she panics for a second there thinking, shit, what has dad been doing?
Like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, just all of it together. The police eventually come. And this is where we get the Ryan Gosling laughing like into his hand gif. Yeah, just another point there.
Yep. That's three that I know from this film.
Yeah, that's in there. Cal tells his 25-year-old daughter, whoever old she is, that she can't see Jacob anymore. And to get out of his house, like they're done speaking. And I'm like, okay, Cal, you've officially lost me. This dude sucks. Out of all these people, Jacob's the best one. He's at least honest.
Yeah. Yeah. He's obviously just in way over his head here and just dealing with too much and just says everyone has to go.
Yes, and we see a fallout with a lot of people here. Robbie deletes Jessica's number. Yes, growth. Move on, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I didn't like that Robbie fell out with his dad over it, as if his dad knew.
I will excuse him as he's 13 years old.
Well, yeah,
immature. Yeah, it's not like, yeah, obviously he's always gonna be like, yeah, of course my dad wasn't going after the 70. Thank God my dad wasn't going after the same. Yeah, and I chalk that up to 13-year-old in a screenplay.
Yes, yeah. It makes sense.
Cal and Jacob have a one-on-one at the bar, and Cal states he will never give his approval, which is fine. Okay, fine. Fuck it. All right. Talk to your fucking daughter, you asshat. Don't lose the rest of your daughter's life because you're a little bitch and can't get over that she's dating some fucking womanizer in that sense. Like, be a fucking man and a father.
That made me sad.
It made me angry.
I felt sad for her. And then there's a moment where we see Jacob saying, oh, you know, you should ring your dad. He says, you should ring your dad. And she's like, no, I'm not going to apologize to him. And I'm like, yeah, I think she's in the right. I think dad should be the one to reach out in this scenario.
Yeah, if she has tried to reach out and he won't do it, then fine. Then that is on him. And then you just live to whatever it is. But yeah. All right, on to the final climactic place, location. 8th grade graduation, which fucking LOL at this being
not
about...
a thing.
No, maybe. Yeah. Not in public schools. It is not a thing in public schools. Private schools, yes. Because rich people need to fucking celebrate every little thing about their little fucking child's glorious thing. Fucking kindergarten graduation. Anyway, sorry. I'm going to get off on that. But this 8th grade graduation class is about 2.5 classes of a public school. Like, fuck out of here with this city they're supposedly living in. And then he's a salutatorian. Like, okay. And then when they say 8th grade salutatorian, Robbie, I'm like, hold on, people. Robbie's got an open mic.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
From past experience in this film, this doesn't go well. Yeah.
It doesn't. And he goes up there and says, love is the biggest scam of all. And you know what? Maybe several few months ago, like a year ago or something like that, I'd have been like, you know what? I agree. 13-year-old Sage. I agree. Love is the biggest scam. Go out and do it. But now I disagree. I'll disagree with that.
Oh, that's nice.
I will not agree with the 13-year-old.
It was so depressing the way his little speech was going, and dad rightly stands up. And I love the moment where he stands up and goes, stop. And then he goes, oh, shit.
Yeah,
fuck.
Like, yeah, he realized what he did. And this adult takes over the podium. Security, hello? Is there security here?
Nobody cares. And we get a little flash of the middle finger from the teacher.
Oh, I bet say that wasn't a flash. She lets that thing, like, she draws it all the way across the horizon there, which she may be sober, but she may not be the most mature either.
No, she's really not. I don't think this is the right job for her, to be honest.
Like, every kid on stage is like, holy shit, did Miss, well, I don't remember her last name, did Miss Kate just flip off somebody? Jesus. Yeah, do that. Cal says he will never stop trying to win back the love of his life. And fucking hell, these two losers reiterate some bullshit and everyone fucking claps like brain damaged seals.
Yeah, everybody laps that shit up.
Yeah. Like, again, like a fucking ar, in that sense there. All right, so they pretty much get to the ending here. Cal gives his blessing via slaps. I do like that he's like, I can fucking slap you now and you can't do anything because I'm not just your friend anymore. I'm the fucking father-in-law, potential father-in-law. So I'm just going to give you a couple of slaps. And fucking Jacob's really good. He fucking takes like, I have to fucking take it. Like, you see him going through
the,
knows. All right, I'm in it. This is part of the deal. I got to take these slaps, but I get to be with her.
Love that Hannah's like, ooh, this is going to be fun. I was like, she's up for this.
Yeah. But again, like, that honestly would be so interesting. Cause like, if my dad's going to stay single, then I have to understand that my now boyfriend, maybe eventual husband or whatever, is going to be playing wingman to my dad.
Yeah, because they're actual friends. Yeah,
because they're friends. And like, the whole thing comes up. And then there's that talk. So you and my dad like hung out. Yeah. What'd y'all do? Like, do you really want to know?
Yeah.
I do really want to know. Oh, he fucking banged like 9 women in a 1 month period.
I helped
period.
Him. I helped him how to do it.
Dude, I showed him how to do it. It's just a revolving door. Your dad was just fucking laying wood.
I don't want to know.
No, I think I'd be kind of be like, okay, good on dad. Good on dad. My mom, well, I still love my parents. You know, I can still love my parents, but my mom cheated on him. And they needed to be apart. That's fine. Their marriage was done. A lot of fucking marriages need to end. And it's better if people from my own previous single life, okay, you date someone in their fucking 40s, they're probably going to be divorced. When you hear about certain things, they fucking need that. And they'll talk about it's the best thing that happened to them because they were with somebody from the time that they were 20 something years old or something like that. The amount of, like I said, the amount of dates I went on, the women I was with that were like, I was only with my husband, or I was with like two people before, and they're like 40 some odd years old. And it's like, you fucking need that. You need to get that shit out. You need to go around and get that quote out of your system.
Experience or, things.
Or have those experiences right there to do it. So I think so many people would be better off being divorced.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Rather than just staying in a marriage for the sake of it.
Yeah, fucking loveless marriage again. If you're in your 40s, you're like, into the fucking 20, 30 years. Then the kids are gone. So it's just going to be y'all.
Great.
Yeah, that's going to get in there. All right, Jessica now likes the attention mentioned before, but Robbie apologizes for being an aspiring rapist. And she gives him what could surely be covered on the first episode of the eventual Robbie Weaver True Crime Podcast.
I wrote, it ends with Jessica giving Robbie a naked photo and we need to call the cops.
Yeah. But again, this dude's in training. And so, yeah, sometimes some fucking the next season of Serial will be, how did Robbie Weaver get his start as a serial rapist and murderer? It started when he was 13 years old and got, there you go. Yeah.
And that's and then, the movie.
Well, it ends ambiguously. Like we talked about how they may or may not get together. I was kind of surprised. It ended like, not abruptly. They did tie everything together except like the ambiguous. But Anna's like, okay. I'll take that ending.
Yeah. I liked that it wasn't clear. I thought it was going to be difficult and they were going to try and work on it. And yeah, I thought it was a good ending.
And that is 2011's Crazy Stupid Love.
All yay. Right.
On to the D&D classes. And this is the type of movie where it's like, oh, fuck. Why do we do this? Why do we have this idea? So Jacob's a bard. All right. He's charismatic. All right.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Really
yeah.
It.
Inspiring, charismatic. That's it. Super. He's a perfect bard.
Like, I'd bang the dude. All right. And I'm.
Hell yeah.
He's questioned my heterosexuality as it is. Mm. So Jacob's a bard. Everyone else is whatever you want them to be because I don't really know what the fuck to put them. Jessica's dad is a barbarian because he raged out and fought. There
yes,
you go.
That is the barbarian moment for sure.
We'll have
that.
Yeah. Oh, man, Jacob was a bard fighter because he also punched. Or his bard class would be melee. Okay, everyone else sucks. All right, there we go. Except Hannah. Hannah was okay. All right. Let's get on to the tier list ranking. And what is my tier list going to be? I genuinely enjoyed this movie. I was shocked.
Yay! I'm so happy.
Yes. I literally went in. I wasn't, you know, sandbagging or trying to do radio or trying to, you know, do that by saying I did not think I was going to like this movie because the stench of Love Actually.
I know.
And the way this movie started, I was like, oh, this shit is happening. Oh, there's too many names. Oh, everyone's interconnected. But I stunned myself with it. I genuinely liked it. And I'm going A tier.
Yay! A. I'm very glad for that. Yeah. Mine's A as well, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is, you know, probably one of my favorite rom-coms, I guess.
It's up there for 100%. It's up there for me.
It's probably one of my favorite rom-coms because it's not super corny. You know, we've talked about kind of like it's not just a classic happy ending. And I think the cast is incredible. Obviously, this set Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone up as a little Hollywood pairing for a few movies. And I love Steve Carell. And yeah, I just think it's really funny. Really funny and heartwarming. Yeah, it's an A for me forever.
Yep, absolute laugh out loud chortles. Yeah. And just general laughs. But yeah, there you go. Double A tier. Look at that.
Let's
certified
go.
OTP approved. I will gladly watch this movie again. Like,
yes. Yeah. I've only watched it a few times. I haven't overdone it, which is maybe an S tier for me would be something that I've watched thousands of times. But yeah, I would watch it again in a heartbeat.
All right, so there it is. All right, again, make sure email podonthepath@gmail.com, patreon.com/onthepath. Again, 365 days is the Patreon movie out now. We don't know what's going to happen with it. You never know. All right, so that's going on there. Lucy, where can we find you?
You will find me at Lucy J. Robin on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, everything like that.
All right. You can find me mainly on Discord. Check out that Discord link below. All the fun stuff in there. Great talks about anything and everything, not just the podcast, not just the movies. Next week, we continue the month of love with a movie we have not seen before, but aptly titled Valentine's Day.
Yeah, this is giving Love Actually vibes by the poster, but I have no idea what it's about.
Yes, it is an ensemble cast. I do know it's Gary Marshall who did it, and I do know that it is when Taylor Swift and Taylor Lautner were dating, and apparently okay. They have a scene in the movie. So we have not seen it. I also know that it got dreadful reception. I know that tomato lead meter is going to be low on.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay. Yes. I'm looking forward to it.
We gave ourselves 1 week of enjoyable. We're back to bad movie. What the fuck have we done to ourselves? So we'll see you next week for the final episode before Valentine's Day by watching Valentine's
Day.
Bye. Bye.